the parables. So I have touched on this one before. Dad did an exhort on sheep, and then I did one on sheep, which I said was quite funny because we both don't really like sheep. And I think someone else did one not long before that. So I decided to revisit it, and I looked at it, I was like, oh crikey, there's a lot of waffle in that exhort. And I pretty much just pressed delete and deleted half of it and kept the crunch of it, and then added a few bits and fixed a few spelling errors so it actually makes more sense as I read it out. So there was a few bits in there when I was reading over my exhort again, I was like, oh, I didn't really think of that, and oh, I've never really thought of that before. And I was like, I wonder if other people had the same thoughts. So I chucked a little bit in there for a few things that I think often don't get highlighted that should be. So, jumping forward in Luke, it describes the mission, Jesus' mission. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In Luke 15, there is a parable which teaches these points. The Lord's finding again those which were previously lost, in terms of a shepherd finding his sheep, a woman finding her piece of silver, and a father receiving his son once again. So firstly, the lost sheep. The first part of the parable describes how that a shepherd will wholeheartedly search for a sheep that has become lost. There may be many reasons why the sheep got lost. Could have just wandered off because they're pretty dumb and don't really think about where they're going. Being distracted by something, could have been spooked, could have seen its own shadow and run away. Either way, the shepherd is determined to find the missing sheep and bring it back into the herd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young, Isaiah 40:11. The sheep are those who follow the good shepherd and will allow him to bring them back to the herd. And when I say the lost sheep is returned, there'll be great joy and rejoicing at its return. Another quote, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Sometimes there is a problem when they do not think they need to repent. Like when the Pharisees asked the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Jesus answered, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:13. Of course, there is no one who is sinless and who do not need the services of a great physician, but there are some who think they don't need the physician. But returning back to the parable, you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. Being once astray ourselves, we should have great compassion on those who are in danger of becoming lost, and seek to guide them back to the good shepherd. Now the woman with the money, another thing I hadn't really thought of with this one is, she had 10 pieces of silver, she lost one. That's a tenth of her savings. It's not just a few pennies, that's 10% of all she owns. The woman had lost the tenth of her money, and diligently looks for it, not stopping until it is found. But this is a bit of a different focus than with the sheep. The sheep wanders off and is no longer around with the other sheep. The first aspect is to do for which that is lost, but in this case of the missing silver, the emphasis is not on that is missing. The silver piece represents a person previously treasured but now gone. But notice where it's lost. It's not lost out in the street, it's lost in the house. How can it be that a brother or sister can be lost within the church? It happens. As many of us just overlook the need of others sometimes, we don't notice the signs and the falling away goes unnoticed. We must always be aware of how those around us are doing spiritually. Not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:4. We must ensure that in our pleasure, when the needs of those who feel lost or are drifting away are cared for. The woman of the parable had previously possessed the piece of silver, but had lost it. So we must make sure we do not lose one of Christ's little ones. Could be through our actions or our inactions or any other cause. And in this we have example of Christ himself. Those that gave us me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. John 17:12. Now, to the last portion, but also the biggest portion of Luke 15, the lost son. And it's different from the first two in a number of ways. Firstly, the sheep and the lost silver had gone missing for whatever reason. Here, the son chooses to leave. There's always a lot of pain when someone leaves. People are tempted and distracted by the way of the world. Now, the word prodigal, though it's not actually in the Bible, I had about 30 seconds on Google to find out what it meant, means spending money or resources freely and recklessly and wastefully extravagant. And this accurately describes those who love worldly things at the expense of spiritual things. The prodigal son fits the description of Paul to Timothy, of those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, preferring to see the attractions of the world as better than the holy things of his father's household. However, Proverbs chapter 21 tells us something. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Consistently giving into temptation will eventually lead to ruin. And that was the case with the son in the parable. He wasted his substance on riotous living and soon began to be in want. There was a famine in the country. He had no money left to support himself. After wasting away his money, he joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. Being so hungry, he was tempted to eat some of the swine's food, but then the penny dropped and he came to himself and thought, oh, how many of my father's hired servants have enough food to spare? And here I am perishing. So reality set in and the son remembered his father and his house and how much better things were then. But this is the deceitfulness of sin, which we're all prone to. The pleasures of the world can pull us away from truth and faith, and we can indulge ourselves for a time, but at last the temptation of sin will prove only to lead to spiritual poverty. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:16-17. The world's attraction soon failed the son, and they passed away. And the parable continues to describe how the son resolved to return to his father, humbling himself, saying, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and offering himself as a servant to do his master's wishes. We find, however, that when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, I'm sure it's not just me that sees this, but it sounds like the father was actually watching out for his son. He was patiently waiting for him because he saw him when he was yet a great way off. This is God's desire to those that have turned their back, repent and returning to him humbly. And just as in the parable, so in reality, our father is good and willing to forgive those who return to him. Such is the greatness of our Heavenly Father, that he will pity and forgive those who truly repent. There is joy in heaven at the return of a wayward sinner. I think In the parable, the father clothed him with the best garments and made a feast to celebrate his return. In the next section of the parable, it talks about the elder brother. Now, this is often the part of the parable that often gets grazed over a little bit. He, I think, is a representation of the Pharisees who boast about their own works and don't think they need to repent. He had no regard for his brother and considered only his own circumstance. In his anger, he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." His main concern was for himself, but such is not the mind of Christ. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:4. This was the position of the Pharisees, who considered themselves to be without sin and more worthy of the blessing than his wayward brother. The situation is similar to the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The two men went up to pray in the temple, a Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisee's prayer was similar to the sentiments of the older brother. The Pharisee stood and prayed, "I thank thee that I'm not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess." But the publican displayed the spirit of the returning son, standing far off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then we have the master's assessment. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." When brothers and sisters return to the herd after a period of waywardness, we are not to think of ourselves as any better of them. We must humble ourselves and remember that we too need forgiveness. In each of these three aspects of the parable, we have seen the principles of seeking out and restoring that which is lost. We individually have the responsibility of seeking out those whose way is in error, having strayed from the path of righteousness. So says the Spirit through James, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner over from error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins." That's James 5:19 and 20. In this we have the supreme example of Christ as a good shepherd, who will lose none of those who remain in his care and protection. Here is the true spirit of fellowship, to bear one another's burdens, to search out the well-being of those in Christ. We need to learn from this parable that we both and our formerly prodigal brothers and sisters might be given the blessings of returning to and remaining in the herd.